People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and issues related to health and wellness.
Welcome to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. Shannon Donahoe Simpson is sharing a journey of healing. Diagnosed with a rare form of breast cancer as the mother of young children, she would have a double mastectomy and reconstructive surgery. Later, after years of symptoms she would come to attribute to breast implant illness, and after learning her particular implants had been recalled because of elevated risk of a rare but serious form of cancer, she would have them removed following a serious bicycle crash. In a piece in the Comox Valley Collective, Donahoe Simpson shared how a recent experience bringing community together helped her continue her healing journey. I reached her in her Comox Valley home to learn more.
Good afternoon. My name is Shannon Donahoe Simpson, and I am a coach and a speaker and a facilitator. And I am so happy to be joining you today on the radio to share a little bit more about my story.
And you are sharing some of that story, a story of healing through art in the Comox Valley Collective as well. Where do you think is the best place to maybe bring people on board to your story?
I guess it all started in 2009 when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, which was really, I guess not, I mean, it's always alarming when you're diagnosed with breast cancer, but I was that person that was very healthy. I, you know, graduated from UBC with my Bachelor of Human Kinetics. I was really into personal training and I thought I ate really healthy. And so when I was diagnosed with cancer, I know not just myself, but quite a few of my friends and my family were like, How is Shannon diagnosed with cancer? She's so healthy. This doesn't make sense. And so, you know, going from there, you know, it wasn't your typical story. As you know, my twins were only 1 year old at the time. My husband, at the time had two broken hands. And in the middle of my chemo, my son, was diagnosed with autism. And so there was a lot going on all at the same time. And as I moved through my cancer process and I connected with some coaches and I went to Inspire Health Integrated Cancer Care and the CalEnerge Society out of Vancouver doing retreats and just trying to find different ways to heal myself, because it wasn't just a journey of my physical health. It was also a journey of finding out who I was and how was this connected to my mental and my emotional health. And what I learned was that the breast cancer that I had, which was a very rare form of breast cancer, which was triple negative, a very aggressive form of cancer, was definitely linked to a lot of the childhood trauma that I had experienced. And, you know, it's a thing that is becoming more and more sort of brought to the surface now. I think in the past, we used to kind of say, you know, this is physical, this is emotional, this is mental. And we're realizing that we as humans are, everything is interconnected, you know, how we think and the things that happened to us in our past is all connected. And, you know, Gabor Mate talks a lot about that when he says, when the body says no. It's an incredible book. It's probably the first book I read when I was going through my cancer process.
What was the process of, so you have this cancer diagnosis, a rare and aggressive form of cancer, you have this very young family. What was it like just, you know, trying to manage still moving through family life with that diagnosis, in the wake of that diagnosis?
I mean, the word that's jumping out right now for me is community. And this one thing that I learned at the Inspire Health Integrated Cancer Care, and they said that, I mean, the stats were 60% better recovery when you are surrounded by community and support. And if there's one thing that I know about myself, I'm really good at asking for help. And so I just had a lot of people reach out to me. Family would fly in from back east to help out as well, and friends would come over. Also, a big part of that was the Kalanish Society, which is retreats for people with cancer, and they weekly with their young adult cancer group for probably 2 years. For every single Wednesday night, I drove from, I lived in Cloverdale at the time, which is just on the border of Langley and Surrey, and I would drive out every single Wednesday night for 2 years and sat in circle. And it was just a really great opportunity to be around other people, and not just other people, but young people going through cancer, because it's so different. And not that, you know, you wish cancer on anyone, but when you're young and, you know, you've got a brand new mortgage and you've got brand new young children, there's a lot more moving parts going on than when you're retired and, you know, your house is paid for. I mean, hopefully, and, you know, you're living in your retirement. Again, you don't wish cancer on anyone, but when you're young with a young family, there's just a lot more moving parts going on. And so I think one of the things that I did really well going through this, I would say, opportunity now, I wouldn't have called it that then, but was being brave enough to ask for help whenever I needed it. And, you know, it's one thing I've learned in this life, we're so good at offering others help, but some of us are not really great at asking for help. And I think it's one thing that's really helped me pull through when I was going through cancer at such a young age. I was 34 when I was diagnosed, and my twins were one at the time.
Was there a part in that journey where you know, you went through chemotherapy, this was new to you, you were relatively young, you have a mortgage, you have a young family. Was there a point where you felt like things were became more manageable?
Where things became more manageable. Well, I mean, I was really lucky and very fortunate to have purchased, you know, insurance for critical illness before we had our family. And so having that financial support come in made a huge difference, because I wasn't going to go back to work, obviously. And I had an incredible coach that I hired weekly that I talked to. And that was a saving grace for me. Because there was a lot of days my chemo was really hard on my body, and I actually ended up stopping my chemo. It was going to kill me. So I just didn't finish my chemo. But my coach, my life coach, through that whole process of going through my double mastectomy, going through the chemo, going through, like, for that whole, it was well over a year, and just financial being able to have that support to pick me up at the end of every week was really transformational. So I just felt like that helped out a lot. So there was no pressure that, you know, we weren't going to be able to pay our mortgage, and there was no pressure for me to have to rush back to work. I could just really focus on my healing. And then I could also take some of that money, and I went to see naturopathic doctors. I did a lot of, like, vitamin C IVs and things that I might not have been able to afford had I not had that critical illness. And so I was really grateful to have had that on my side.
After your chemo ended, you shared in your article in the Comox Valley Collective that you chose to have a double mastectomy and reconstructive surgery. I'm wondering if you could take me through that.
Yeah, so I mean, at the time, it seemed like the right thing to do. I'd be honest with you, I hadn't done a lot of research into implants or you know, if they were good for my body or not. I just, at that time, it was like, I felt like I was just really in task mode. I had young children at home and a very aggressive form of cancer, and I just wanted to live, and I'd already lost all my hair, and then the thought of, you know, not having any breasts, and I just thought, well, implants just seem like the right way to go. And so I ended up going that way, and down the road, I noticed that there was ongoing for years, so many symptoms, whether it would be anxiety or forgetfulness, or there's always inflammation around my chest and my armpit area. And I just had so many symptoms of just not feeling well, almost all the time, but I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, well, I guess this is normal after you go through chemo and all these different surgeries, that, you know, maybe this is just normal. And it wasn't until, like I said in the article there, where I had this pretty scary biking accident where I literally flew over my handlebars, and then with my handlebars being upright, landing like directly on top of my handlebars with my full weight onto one of my implants, and was certain that I had ruptured one of them, I started investigating into my implants and started asking questions. And then I had talked to my naturopathic doctor, and she said, you know, Shannon, have you ever heard of breast implant illness? And I was like, no, I've never heard of that. And when I started doing the research and looking at all the symptoms, I literally was like, checkbox, 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 checkbox. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, this is exactly why I have not been feeling well for so long, I am certain. And so I went back to the original surgeon that put my implants in. And, you know, of course, he sells implants, so he didn't think that there was really any evidence based around breast implant illness. And I actually felt I walked out of that office feeling very deflated. I would even say, like, he was almost on the borderline of being rude to me. And it was just like no validation or even, you know, asking me even any questions about, you know, what are your symptoms or what are you feeling? And so he did say that he would take them out if they were an issue for me. But the way that I felt when I left that office, I didn't feel confident with that person doing any surgery on my body when I was asleep. So we ended up looking into finding a different doctor that does it privately. And I wanted to make sure that it was done right. And I wanted to make sure that the end result was not going to, for a lack of a better word, I don't know how to say this any nicer, but like literally a hack job on my body. And I just wanted to make sure that the person that I chose was going to do a great job. And so my ex-husband and I decided to sell the house that we were living in because it would cost us a lot of money to do that. And I went ahead and had the surgery, had the implants removed. And it was really eye-opening to then learn after that surgery that I had the implants in me that had been recalled by Allergan, which were cancer-causing implants. And so I just find it really interesting that, you know, if you have a car and you have a recall on your car part for your car, you get a letter in the mail saying, you know, hey, here's this part, it's being recalled and we're going to pay for it to take it to fix it for you. But yet I had like cancerous implants in me and there was no phone call, there was no letter, there was no nothing. And on top of that, they did say that they would pay to have them out, but they just literally open you up, take out the implant, but there is no detail around taking out any of the scar tissue or any of that stuff. And I was just like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, why wouldn't you do the process and do it properly and aesthetically? And so anyways, I ended up deciding to pay for it privately. And like I said, and I can't tell you how much better I felt even the day after I had my implants out. The first thing that I noticed right away was how like the puffiness under my eyes was significantly reduced, and how like the inflammation like around my armpit area just felt, even after the surgery, just different. I can't even explain it. So it was, I mean, a lot of big decisions to have to make. And I kind of let my intuition and my heart lead me in some of those decisions. I mean, financially, it would have made a lot more sense to go with the doctor who originally had put them in. But intuitively, I just knew that I just wanted to feel very confident in the person that was going to be doing that surgery on me.
You're listening to People First Radio. My guest is Shannon Donahoe Simpson. She's sharing her experiences of using art in the healing process following a double mastectomy. Donahoe Simpson has spoken so far about her experience with breast implant illness. Here's some information from Health Canada's website on the subject. Breast implant illness is a term used to describe various symptoms or diseases that people with breast implants have experienced. In some cases, the symptoms may affect more than one area of the body. There have also been reports of autoimmune diseases, which is when the body mistakenly attacks healthy cells, tissues, or organs. There have been published reports of diseases in people with breast implants since the early 1980s. Examples of symptoms reported by people with breast implants include fatigue, joint pain or stiffness, problems with memory or concentration. The site says Health Canada received 530 reports of symptoms or diseases experienced by people with breast implants. About one report of breast implant illness has been received for every 1,200 breast implants sold in Canada. The page says it's not possible to determine whether breast implants cause the various symptoms and diseases. It says that some people have reported that their symptoms or diseases have improved after their breast implants were removed. It also says it's not recommended that people with breast implants have them removed to prevent the possible development of breast implant illness, and that there are risks associated with surgery to remove or replace breast implants. You can find a summary safety review on the issue on the Health Canada website. We'll post a link in the show notes of the podcast version of this episode. Now back to my conversation with Shannon Donahoe Simpson. You shared this idea that you're going through this process of learning that healing is not about getting over something. And I'm wondering if you could tell me about that.
You know, healing is not a linear process. And I've learned that. It's for me, and I think for many, it's just an ongoing thing. I've learned in this life that I think many of us have been fed this story that, you know, we're supposed to be happy all the time, and that, you know, when things aren't great, that's not good. And I actually don't believe that's the truth. And I think that's, you know, when you tie this into healing, you know, when things aren't good or when things aren't going well, it's not good or bad. And when things are going great, it's not good or bad. It's just, what if we knew in life that there is ebbs and flows and ups and downs, and that's how we learn. That's how we become who we are. That's how we grow. I don't think anybody has literally been on this planet to this day and not experienced some sort of, whether you call it trauma or whether you call it a health crisis or something that has affected them in their life, you know, physically and mentally, emotionally. And, you know, some of us have the opportunity to be on this planet a little bit longer. And I think that's probably been the biggest gift for me, is being diagnosed at such a young age. You know, I had the opportunity to see life from a little bit of a different lens than some people who maybe don't have the opportunity to go through a life-threatening situation at such a young age. And so, I don't know if that answered the question. I feel like.
Well, maybe it brings us to the part of your healing journey that was kind of recently was the focus of what you're trying to share in this article in the Comox Valley Collective. You had some dear friends over, and I'm wondering if you could tell me what happens next.
So the whole process of this, I was telling you a little bit earlier when we were off the record about how this whole process has unfolded just so organically. And when I had a birthday party, my 50th birthday, a couple of years ago, one of my girlfriends, actually Mel, who owns West Coast Karma, did some henna on our hands. And she said, "You know, Shannon, if you ever want to do some art across your double mastectomy area for like an idea around a tattoo, I'd love to do that for you." And so nothing became of it. And 2 years later, fast forward, literally like a couple of months ago, I was camping and I just got this download idea. I was like, "You know, I think it's time to make this happen, and I think it'll be a really incredible opportunity to step through some healing around my story." That, and I'm sure many women that have double mastectomies have this story that, you know, because, you know, our breasts are removed, there's this idea that we are not whole and we're not beautiful. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. And so I thought, what an incredible way to do some healing, but to bring together an incredible photographer, Meredith Rose, who photographed this beautiful event, Mel from West Coast Karma that did the art across my mastectomy area. And then I invited four of my dear friends to hold space for me. And so while Mel was doing the art across my mastectomy area, I had an opportunity to literally say out loud from start to finish the entire story of how, through my cancer, through my diagnosis, through moving through my son's journey with his autism, and a lot of the different things that I've had the opportunity to experience, in my lifetime. And it was just such a healing process. I mean, I think one thing to have a counselor and say those things, you know, one-on-one with a counselor, but to have a group of women witness you in such a vulnerable moment and have a photographer be there as well to take memories of that moment and then be able to, like I said, speak these words out loud and have your friends just hold you. There was a lot of tears that night, and not just from me, but from the women surrounding me that night, just feeling all of the emotions of going through that process. But I think, you know, what my message really is that having a double mastectomy does definitely physically change our body as women, but energetically, our breasts are still there and we're still whole and we are still beautiful, no matter what. And no one can take that away from us. And so that's the message that is so important for, but I want to say out loud to all the other women out there that have gone through this process of, because cancer it's a physical thing, and yet it's not. It's so much more. It's physical, it's emotional, it's mental. It can take you to places of depths of yourself that you never knew existed. And it can be really hard, and it also is such an incredibly beautiful process all at the same time.
What do you feel like it was about that experience of bringing these people together and talking through your story, through this artistic experience? What parts of that do you think are maybe transferable, or what do you think are some of the takeaways that other people can have from this very personal experience for you?
Well, I think what is showing up for me right now comes back to that word community. And, you know, there's something really beautiful when you can be witnessed. You know, I call my girlfriends sisters. They're very near and dear to me. But there's just something really beautiful when you can, you know, do these things together and know that you have support around you. I mean, I was raised in a home where we were kind of taught to be more independent, and I can do this alone and I can figure this out. And I would say that we're not meant to do this alone. We are meant to have people around us, and people hold us, and people celebrate us. And that was a big part of this healing process for me, was just to be witnessed and remind myself and others that, you know, the beauty comes from within. You know, our beauty is not something, you know, outside of us. That beauty is from within. And it's a remembering of who we are. And it's really beautiful when you can have your friends or your sisters around you to mirror that back to you when you're going through a really transformational time in your life. And I just think that this story can bring just a lot of hope for other women out there that have gone through this process, that we're not meant to do this alone, that community and our sisters, and yeah, it is so important.
Shannon Donahoe Simpson, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It was my pleasure.
Shannon Donahoe Simpson speaking with me about her experiences as a cancer survivor. She recently shared a story about art and healing in the Comox Valley Collective.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.